Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, that is Three Guys Theologizing. I am Kyle Borg, and I am joined with my co-hosts Scott Hunt, located out of Marion, Indiana, and Barry York, who's in the Pittsburgh area. A bit of a useless and little-known fact, but I did calculate earlier today that if you draw lines between our three locations to form a triangle, it covers 25,000 square miles. And so that makes us kind of a big deal. Beyond that, I think it's a pretty useless fact, but we do want to welcome our listeners back to another episode of your favorite friendly podcast, Three Guys Theologizing. I have to say, before we dive into our theme for today, that it's a real privilege to have Barry on this episode. At the time of this recording, we are one day after Barry's birthday. And I learned some things about Barry yesterday on Facebook in the birthday greetings that people left him. And mainly, the one that warmed my heart the most is that Barry is the greatest dad on planet Earth. And I just, you give us something to aspire to, Barry, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, right. At least in the sense of five or six people.
some very nice comments for your birthday. So I hope those were encouraging. As you enter, what is this? I don't want to guess, but what year of life is this for you?
I just caught up to my wife.
Oh, that's a great defense to hide behind, because now, if we ask you and push you, we're basically going to be asking what Miriam's age is, and we ask a woman how old she is.
She's 3 weeks older than I am, so I use this three-week period to my advantage quite a bit, talking about how I married an older woman and how she's pushing toward her late 50s.
Older in grace, Barry. Older in
grace. Let's just say we passed the double nickel mark.
Oh, wow. Nice. We won't push that anymore, but no. happy belated birthday to you. All birthday cards can be sent to the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Yeah. So just listeners, be aware of that. Well, our theme for today's episode is drawn from some current events that have been setting social media, you might say, on fire. And we're not simply going to be looking at those current events, but using those current events as a case study for what we might call the power of social media, or maybe even a little more nuanced, the power of mob rule on social media. 13 years ago, Twitter, which we suspect most of our listeners are familiar with, a social media platform. 13 years ago, Twitter came into existence. And as a social media platform, it certainly promises a lot, and it's useful for many things. You can think, those who use Twitter, of the interconnectivity and the shared experience that it gives to us with people who are beyond our immediate network and our geographical locations. Really helping to make the world smaller and bring people together. Twitter has often been used to share real-time news. I remember reading once that an earthquake in Asia, people began reading about it on Twitter before they felt it. And so there was some advanced warning by something like 30 to 45 seconds that people knew, oh, an earthquake is about, you know, it's in our region, it's about to hit us, and they were able to take cover. And that's really a phenomena, to be able to have real-time news that quickly. And Twitter has done a lot to advance that. Twitter has also been utilized by medical professionals. My own father-in-law was a bit of a pioneer on how to integrate this platform with the medical world. He's been interviewed on Good Morning America. He's been featured in the New York Times, and the way in which surgeons have been able to use Twitter for real-time help as they do procedures from other doctors and other surgeons. It's really fascinating. And Twitter has the power to link us to all kinds of resources. So there's a lot of good that has come from this social media platform. And for whatever else we say today, maybe we want to remember that there is some good to it. And Twitter wields a lot of power. I think people know that. Statistically, I looked this up really quick, there are 6,000 tweets every second, 500 million tweets per day, and over 200 billion tweets in a calendar year. And we expect that to just continue to grow exponentially. So Twitter wields a lot of power. And we've seen in recent days, for those who weren't lost on the high seas, we have seen that some of the downside, some of the negative side of Twitter, especially as it relates to what we might call the public mob scene or the social mob. And I want to discuss that a little bit today. First of all, could you guys just give a brief update on what are some of the current events that have really helped fuel what you might call the Twitter mob? Where have you guys seen that?
Well, of course, we're just after the National Right to Life rally in Washington, D.C., where there was an episode where this group of young people from a certain high school looked like they were chanting and doing something there at the rally. And during that time, a man with a drum came up, a Native American came up with a drum and began drumming right in front of him. And this one of the young boys just stood there with this funny look on his face. And that picture got captured and sent around. And pretty soon he was being accused of just showing disrespect to this older gentleman beating the drum. And it's really it's really gotten out of control where his family has received death threats. There have been protests out in front of the high school. People are saying all kinds of things on social media that are murderous and threatening. So that was one of the things that came to our attention regarding this.
Another thing that has come to the attention of popular culture, I suppose, is Karen Pence taking a job at a school that, and I don't know all the details because I don't have a Twitter account, but taking a job at a school that teaches against homosexuality, against the LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever groups that are out there. And so there's a big uproar about that, evidently. So I'm hearing in the news. I don't know for sure, but there's another thing that has been widely publicized via social media.
Yeah. Shock beyond shock that a Christian school has moral standards for how they view marriage. The outrage that followed that, these people act, have these people never seen the charters of Christian schools, universities, colleges, institutions, all of which have much of the same language? It was really surprising to me the outrage that was feigned over that. Well, I think those are two good examples. And of course, there's any number of other examples that we've seen in the media regarding the Twitter mob, you might say. How as Christians, there are those situations, there are circumstances like that, and maybe not so much how should we as Christians view Karen Pence and view this situation that happened at the March to Life. But how as Christians, or biblically, how should we be thinking of this kind of mob mentality that we witness on social media platforms like Twitter? What are some guiding principles? What are some helpful things you guys think would help our listeners to think through this mob idea?
Well, we know the tongue, as the book of James says, is a dangerous a dangerous instrument. It's like a fire, a spark that can create a fire. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in the Twitter sphere, as people say something and other people say something, and it just grows momentum like a raging forest fire. And of course, one of the things that James tells us to do is that we have to be slow to speak. And it's amazing how many people see this one picture of this young man. Of course, he was also wearing a Make America Great Again hat, so that was certainly not to his advantage. And they see this one picture of him standing there. And again, as you look at the full video of what happened, it doesn't look like, as was originally thought by so many who jumped on this bandwagon, that the young people approached the drummer and were mocking him, but rather he came beating his drum right into the midst of them and came up to this young boy who looks frozen, as if, what am I supposed to do, is what I kind of gathered from the look on his face and what transpired according to the video. So one of the first things we really have to do as believers is to be very careful before we speak. And it's so easy to jump to wrong conclusions, to only have a partial piece of the full body of evidence before we go rushing into to judgment. And so that's one of the things that is a danger with having a phone right in your pocket, right in your possession, around you all the time. It's just so easy to want to respond quickly to something. And I think we need to pause, pray, do I really need to comment here? How is this going to affect and impact people? So being slow to speak is certainly one principle we should be exercising as believers.
And with that, Barry, just to highlight something you said, I appreciate you bringing us to James chapter 3 and the idea that the tongue can set a fire. But, you know, James is really strong in the language he uses for that in James 3:6. Uh-huh. It is actually set on fire by hell itself. Like, we see something diabolical, and I think we need to remember that. Mm-hmm. We see something diabolical at work when we begin to witness things like this and an untamed tongue, yes, which I think includes what we tweet. So,
and when you see
Scott,
the words,
I think I almost interrupted you.
Oh, I interrupted you.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say in response, Kyle, yes, when you look at what people are saying, it is so perverse and evil and full of hatred. And again, James talks about that's earthly wisdom. That's not heavenly wisdom. We're to be peaceable and pure in our speech. So to sit here and condemn, to jump on and condemn all of this, you know, most people wouldn't do this face to face. There's something about social media that gives a person a little bit of sense of anonymity, or at least a degree of separation where they feel like they could do this. A lot of us wouldn't necessarily say the things face-to-face with someone that we might do on social media, which again just makes it all the more dangerous. We think we can just get away with it. But you know, another thing that we have to keep remembering is on the final day of judgment, every word, every idle word we speak, Jesus says, is going to be weighed in the balance. And so we need to be really careful and what we're saying through our lips or through our fingertips as we're typing.
And I think it's really important, and then Scott, we'll stop interrupting you. But just so our listeners are clear, I do think it's important that, you know, while we use these two examples, this is not a conservative versus a liberal problem. This is not a conservative versus progressive problem. This is pervasive. This is everyone. We just need to remember that we're not as 3GT, we're not picking sides and saying, well, I think there's a pervasive problem for most of us.
Oh yeah, a lot of Christians are guilty of this, jumping on, commenting. I'm doing it right now because Scott wants to talk. Scott, talk to us.
I thought my microphone was broken for a minute.
It's a danger.
I want to go back to
podcast with two preachers. Yeah.
It is. I mean, you'd think the attorney could get a word in edgewise, but I want to go back to something you said though, Barry. It's partial pieces of evidence, and that's important in my line of work. You know, people are passing judgment on just small slivers of evidence. The Bible says, you know, at the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses, every fact should be established. Well, we're seeing one small picture that's taken completely out of context, or one story taken out of context and passing judgment. And as you mentioned, just horrible judgment, wishing death, a calling for murderous actions to take place based on the testimony of one witness. And so I think it shows just how far we've gone away from this biblical principle of let every fact be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. So I think when we see something on Twitter, on social media, that that you know we need to investigate before we comment. We just can't comment offhand based on what we see. We have to do some real soul searching and investigation before we put our 2 cents in the matter.
That's a great point, Scott, for you to bring up. I think it emphasizes that really at the root of this is a hatred for what we would call biblical justice, that God is concerned with justice. God is concerned with evidence. God is concerned with credible witnesses. And I think there's a dissatisfaction permeating society with that idea of justice. Really what this mob rule is, it's unjust. It is, like you said, trying to prosecute and find people guilty on the smallest shred of evidence that would probably, and you could speak more authoritatively to this, but probably wouldn't hold up in a court of law any day of the week. And I think that shows another diabolical side to this, is that this is not the pursuit of justice. And Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord desire? That you act justly, that you love mercy, and you walk humbly with your God. This shows how much our culture and society hates justice. Mm-hmm. What about some other aspects of this? How else can Christians biblically think about this Twitter mob rule?
Another principle that comes to my mind is that we need to really think about the fact that we reap what we sow. So if we're going to go sow some tweets, we better be prepared to reap the consequences of those tweets. You may recall a number of years ago, a young lady got on a plane. She was working for a company. We got on a plane to head to South Africa, and she tweeted something derogatory, but she was just being funny. She was trying to be funny. She didn't mean it. You could see from her life and lifestyle that she didn't mean what she said. She was just being funny. But by the time she arrived, when the plane landed and she opened up her phone, she saw that her Twitter feed had exploded, texts had exploded. All her friends were trying to reach out to her because in the time that it took to fly to South Africa, all these people had commented and said all these evil and harsh things against her. She ended up losing her job over it and has had a difficulty since then, I think, with work. And it just reminds me that a lot of young people don't realize that when they get on social media and they're making these comments on Facebook, putting pictures up on Instagram, tweeting, they're not really often thinking about the longer term consequences of what they're displaying to the world. And I know many an employer who will go and Google their name or search them out on these different social media apps and find out a lot about this person that they didn't realize. Matter of fact, just this week at the seminary, we were approached by a certain person. I'm not going to go into the details. And
give names.
No, just asking about something with respect to ministry, and by just looking online, it gave me a lot of pause. Let's just put it that way. So I think we need to be, because of what this person was saying online, so I think we need to be really careful about our social media lives and thinking about this principle that you reap what you sow.
And people who question or doubt that only needs to look at the Major League Baseball. You know, there have been 2 or 3 players who are having to now answer for things that they have commented years ago in their youth. And they're apologizing. They were they may, I don't know the context or what was said, but evidently offensive, but they will come back to haunt you. Your words will return. You know, like you said, you will reap what you sow. And the other thing I think that people need to understand is whenever you talk, you represent something or somebody. And as Christians, when we speak, we bear the name of Christ. And so we have to speak in a way that is glorifying to him. I know that there have been a lot of people like on, you know, ESPN, I'm kind of showing you my heart, ESPN, some of these broadcasters or reporters who have tweeted things, Kurt Schilling being one. There was another female who did the same thing. And they both lost their job. It's because, and they were speaking in as a private person, but when they spoke, they represented in one way or another ESPN, and they wouldn't tolerate that kind of behavior. And so they got assigned or reassigned, lost their job. You know, the same thing happens with Christians. And we need to bear in mind that when we speak on Twitter, and it's been said before, you know, we are going to have to give account for those words because we are Christ representatives on earth right now. And so we need to bear that in mind. And that needs to be seriously put in the forefront of one's thinking before they comment on a post.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that why they can't find a host for the Oscars?
Yes.
Every name that comes up, they go back and look at their social media profile and say, nope, not that one.
Yeah. Kevin Hart got in trouble for that.
Yeah, I think some others.
Man, oh, man. So I guess the question is, I think we've done a good job identifying some of the problems with this idea of mob rule. I think there's probably more that we could touch on, but I think I want to, how should Christians respond specifically to this? Does this mean that we ought to just get out of Twitter and not participate in it at all? How can Christians approach this in a discerning way? How would you encourage people? Scott, I know you don't have a Twitter account, so maybe you would not encourage anybody to have a Twitter account. But how would you encourage people in more broadly in a social media world? Because Twitter's not the only platform that promotes this mob rule. But how would you encourage Christians? What would you encourage them to do in light of a culture and a society that is really facing this phenomenon of mob rule, of social media mob rule?
Well, I don't think that it's wrong that Scott doesn't have a Twitter account. I do think that we need to think about what social media apps we use, how necessary it is for us and our lifestyles. And so not to be on all of them there's certainly just some built-in wisdom in that, trying not to feel like you have to be connected to all of these things. I do use Twitter and some of the other social media apps for personal ministry purposes. But I do think it's important to think about what you're putting up. I hope it doesn't sound too corny, but I mean, I do pray a lot of times before I comment. I like to joke.
So corny, Barry.
But I, you know, we like to joke and tease around. And it was just even today, I was even thinking about this, but there was some friends, and I almost said something online, and I just said, you know, I don't need to say that. It might draw a laugh or two, but it could also be misunderstood by people. And I don't think we think about that either, that there's a context for each of these social apps. I know the young people are migrating away from Facebook onto Instagram, and you need to be aware of the fact that Instagram is a little bit more of a youthy culture rather than an old man's culture. Speaking of my age,
Instagram is my primary social media platform. So Barry, you made me feel very young.
So to be honest, it would be weird if I was putting a lot of pictures up on Instagram. It would just be weird. Agree? But I like seeing my children's pictures. So, and my grandchildren who are sometimes on there. So I go on there and I'll like some of that, but I'm not putting up a lot of pictures of myself on Instagram. So I hope I haven't disappointed anyone.
Well, the fact of the matter is Instagram is the only social media platform I have. And I have a login for it.
Because you're so young. And
the only reason I do is because my child has an Instagram account. And I want to know at all times what is going on because I'm an overbearing parent.
Yes. Well, that's how come I got on Facebook years ago, is simply to see what my children and the youth of the church were up to.
But, you know, I don't post. I think I've had two posts in like 2 years, so I'm not into that. But I don't think on Instagram you get quite as much of the same, at least I haven't seen it, the same political garbage that I hear about on Facebook or on Twitter. But you still have to be careful with Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I'm looking for you on Instagram right now. Are you
Godspeed? Godspeed on finding me. Because it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. All right. I take that as a challenge. And as soon as this episode is done being recorded, I'm going to find you. So,
and we'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, that's right. Follow Scott's Instagram account. Go here. That'd be great.
It's a private account.
So any other counsel? I can think of some, but before I chime in, any other counsel you would give to Christians on how to interact or guard against these things?
I've always told people it's a terrible idea to try to debate on email. That's primarily the way I use it, or I do online debating. But, you know, debating on electronic media is just very seldom beneficial and generally only causes further dissension. So my biggest point is don't try to debate anything online. It's just like screaming past somebody. Nobody wants to read it. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to take time to think about it on these forums. So don't even waste your time, your energy in trying to debate. That's my opinion. That's one piece of advice I would give.
Well, especially if you're trying to speak into some of these situations. I mean, it's like going into a mob that's rioting outside and trying to say something. It's just not going to be heard. So it's a waste of breath, really. Why don't you enlighten us, Kyle, further? Because you have some things you said you'd like to say.
Well, I just, together with everything that you guys have been saying, I think we need to return to those biblical principles that we need to be careful not to receive a bad report. You know, I know when I'm on social media and I know when things are happening, you know, I get up and I read the news every morning, and part of my news checking is actually checking Twitter to see, well, what's going on? What are people saying? And as Christians, you know, we already talked about the principle of justice, but justice demands, or actually I should say love for neighbor demands that we believe all things and that we be careful in receiving a bad report. That is not our glory. Our glory is not to just receive the reports that we read. And I think that's becoming more important in a social media dominated world. You know, even when I go to the main news sources or fake news, as the Twitterer in chief would have us believe, I've been amazed at how many times these major media outlets use Twitter as a valid source of information gathering. You know, I was just reading a news article today that said, you know, so-and-so, some politician said this, and the outcry was loud, and they took screenshots of people's Twitter comments. But my point is, we need to be very careful as Christians to not receive a bad report. We also need to realize that these are, you know, social media, and I'm not saying that there's godliness and virtue in just abstaining. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. It has the appearance of godliness. It would lack the power of it. But we do need to remember that these are cesspools. I'm saying nothing about Scott. I admire Scott's godliness from afar. So, but, you know, these are cesspools for slander, and they're cesspools for gossip. And we see very vividly the way in which I remember, I forget who it was exactly. It was a former pastor of our congregation who compared gossip to cannibalism and said, you know, the Bible uses the language that gossip is the devouring of another person. And he said, we really need to see the wicked character of gossip. It's like cannibalism. It's eating somebody alive. And I think we see the wickedness of gossip in this kind of this mob mentality. Real lives are being destroyed. You know, I know that some politicians put themselves out there and I'm fine with them getting criticism. They hold public office and it's the nature of what they're doing. But there are other cases in which private people who, Barry, as you noted earlier, fairly innocently and somewhat absent-mindedly have done things, and the gossip and the slander that follows is ruining their lives. And I think it's devouring them. And we need to take that seriously as Christians. Gossip is a serious sin. Slander is a serious sin. And so, you know, I'm not saying abstain, but we need to have a very discerning, very cautious eye, especially when we find ourselves getting caught up in that mob mentality. Mm-hmm. Well, do you guys have any closing words before we come to the conclusion of this episode? Any final thoughts?
Just that in talking about the evils of social media, that we have to remember that there are, as you were inferring, redemptive aspects of it too. There are great ways to encourage our brothers and sisters. Often I find out about something going on in the church or the kingdom of God, and so that we can be praying or supporting someone. It's a great way of spreading the news of the gospel to others, and so using it in that way. So there's lots of good and proper uses. It's a wonderful gift God has given to us that we can communicate so quickly and so directly to so many people. But just as if we were in a packed stadium and we had a bullhorn put in our hands, we should be careful what we say. Mm-hmm. If we yell fire out that bullhorn, we could cause a stampede and people could be hurt or even killed in the process. And words can bring, there is both life and death in the tongue. And so we really need to weigh carefully before we pick up that bullhorn, that megaphone, and speak through it.
Well, thank you guys for that enlivening conversation. We thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Be sure to head over to 3GT.xyz to check out our website. Also, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with all the latest drops of each episode. Also, if you feel so inclined, you can head over to Instagram and follow me at Kyle_Kansas. Pretty easy to remember. And we also do have a Facebook page that you can go visit, Three Guys Theologizing. And we commend now, as we close, all of our listeners to go and figure out what Scott's Instagram handle is. Good luck and happy hunting. Until next time.